Okay, so we're going to get started here with the Pali.
Which one is that book? Practical Grammar of the Pali Language, or which one?
Yeah, Practical. By De Rochelle.
Bundy, could you repeat the name of that book? It was a little hard to hear.
Practical Grammar something something, I don't know, by De Rochelle. It's in the Digital Pali Reader.
Thank you.
A Practical Grammar of the Pali Languages by Charles De Rochelle. It's at least 100 years old, but it's still awesome. It's not long, but it's every time I have a question like this, I find the answer in this book. Another good one is Introduction to Pali by A.K. Warder. Good as a reference. Terrible as an introduction to Pali, in my opinion. It's probably one of the worst titled books I can think of, but it's a great book as far as reference goes. I suppose it's designed as an introduction, but I can't imagine anyone. But it takes a special person to be able to go through it as an introduction.
Which one is that book?
Introduction to Pali by A.K. Warder.
Oh yeah, I know. Okay. Thank you.
Big, thick, dense, red book. Well, different colors.
There's another book that I hear people reference quite a bit by Lily De Silva. Is that something that you think highly of, or not so much?
No. Those kind of books are... I don't even really recommend them because they don't give you the outline that you need. They take it piecemeal and they never really give you an idea of... Like, they'll never give you a paradigm, I don't think. I mean, it's very much designed for... It's easy to follow, and people like it, but it shouldn't be easy. You know, learning a language, you have to do memorization. When I learned Sanskrit, half the people dropped out, and that's really, you know, it's not an easy thing to actually learn the language. I suppose it's better than nothing, and yeah, it's easy, so people appreciate it, and it's got neat examples. I don't know. Maybe it's just being a purist, thinking it should be tough and you should really go all the way, but I guess for most people that's not feasible. So yeah, it can't hurt. It won't make you worse in Pali. It's just not the correct way to learn. Okay, so shall we go through these? What did we get through? We got through, so the first one, Ko Dhammang Desayati, who teaches the Dhamma? So the second one, because that's a causative passive form of bakas, bakas means to become clear. What was another meaning of it? Anyway, this is causative passive, so it means is caused to become, or is made to become clear, or is made clear. And samanerena, by the samanera. The Dhamma is made clear by the samanera. This is a common sort of sentence.
The samanera is a...
Samanera means... Actually, samanera is...
Looks like it's 1-1.
No, samanerena is 3-1.
Samanera.
Well, there is no samanera. It's samanerena.
Oh.
Samanerena is interesting. It comes from the word samana with a short a. Samana, you add the, samana means one with a peaceful mind. It means like a recluse or something like that. And when you add nera, with a dot under the N, it actually changes samana into, puts a dot under the N, I think. I don't think samana has a dot under the N. And it lengthens the first vowel, so that's when you get samanera. And nera in this case means of the family or relative or something like offspring. So it's kind of like the son of a samana or daughter of a samana. But it means a novice. It's like et, the E-T-T-E, is that the correct one? Like a smaller form of something?
Like Ita in Spanish, like mamacita.
Yes, señorita. Gena yang tupo badita piate. Okay. First, we find this the object subject of the sentence. Subject here is ayang tupo. Tupo is tupa. We already went through this sentence, right? Tupa is stupa. Ayang means this. So we have this stupa and sandhi with the ayang. Kena plus ayang means it comes to kena ayang. Kena is the KYT system, K being the question form. So kena means by what? In this case, actually, by who. By who is this stupa, patitapiyate, caused to be stood up, caused to be erected? And this one is a napya. Napya means caused to be. It's passive causative, what we call hetu kamma vajaka, which we learned about above. Okay, can anyone get the next one?
Maharaja tam parapet. King makes do.
Your audio is cutting out. I don't think it's your bandwidth. I think it's the audio wizard. It's got a gate clip or something there.
I just have a headphone.
Yeah, but it seems like you've set the software up wrong, if I'm not mistaken, in the software.
I have an iPad.
Oh, an iPad, okay. Well, in that case, I stand corrected. It probably is your internet then, maybe?
If we can't hear you, do you want to type the message into the text box?
He's got an iPad.
Oh, okay.
So you can't hear me at all, or?
No, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I can hear you, but you clip out.
Okay. I'll try it again. This one is Maharaja Tam Parapeti. So king makes him do. Hello?
What was the last part? King makes him what?
Do. Parapeti makes him do.
Could be. Probably not. Tang here is the object. So it's more likely the Maharaja causes that to be done. Tang meaning that. Causes something to be accomplished. The Maharaja causes that to be done. This is Kara is the root. Nape is the Katu Vaja. Katu. Hetu Katu Vajaka. Which is active causative form. Nape. Nape strengthens the first vowel, so you get karapeti. But it's really good. I think it could also mean that. I'm not clear on this whole causing people to do things. It seems if you cause someone to do something, the person who you cause to do it is also a 2-1 form, which is interesting. Okay, number, well, they're not numbered. The next one.
Matang Mata Pitaro Pute Anusasayang. How should I advise the parents about the son?
We've got two. Who was that just spoke?
David.
David, and Ryan's got a different translation. We've got an argument here, conflict.
The other possibility is Ryan has printed in text just for the audio, parents should advise children with speech. Both kind of close.
So anusasayang is first person optative, I think. Optative?
It is optative, yes.
So that's not, I should.
It's not, no, it's not. It's not I should.
Okay.
Let's just go back and look at the optative. Yeah, it's a irregular. I'm just going to have to see here. The problem is the verb form. Are highly irregular. So let's just look in the book and see what we've got.
So looking at the Satami table, optative.
I know, but it's not correct. I have to find a grammar. Let's look up De Rochelle's. Yeah, interesting, he doesn't even. Yeah, we've got irregular forms here. I can't find the exact rule for it, but ayang is also a third person singular. No, third person plural, sorry. Third person plural, which is what we've got here. It's definitely third person plural. Which, you know, advice, don't worry too much about the verbal endings. You know, look at them, and if they're the common ones, that's okay. But look more to what is the subject, because the subject will tell you what the person of the verb is going to have to be. Is it way to cheat? Because verbs are so complicated. Like, that should be, yeah, if you look at the charts, it's a first person singular. But this isn't third person singular, this is first person plural. And De Rochelle has some examples here, like gareyang is a third person plural, which is what we've got. So sorry about that, but this is shows you how verbs work. They don't really. So this is third person plural, third person plural, which means, and the subject of the sentence is mata pitaro. Pitu is an irregular regular noun. And pitaro is the plural. So when you put mata and pita, matu and pitu together, they become a plural noun because there's two things in it. A mata pitaro is two things, a matu and a pitu, a mother and a father. Katang means how. How mother and father should anusas, which is to advise, right, or teach. So Brango's got it. How should mother and father advise? And pute is not 7-1, it's 2-2, right? Someone said in regards to, that would be if it was 7-1, but it's not. I mean, it could be. There's nothing here to indicate that it's not, except for context. But the context is pretty clear. How should mothers and fathers advise their sons? Simple sentence, really. It's just a bit confusing because of the grammar. So grammar is not where you start. Start looking at the meanings of the words. Like what I used to do when I was doing my Sanskrit homework is I'd write the meaning of the word in the margins above each word. So katang means how, mata pitu means mother and father, puta means son. We don't have to put plural or singular yet. Anusas is advising or so on. And then it's fairly easy to put the sentence together, and then you just check to make sure the grammar agrees. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get it wrong, which it's just a part of the learning process.
Yeah, I was just dragged off course by thinking that was a first-person verb ending.
Yeah, well, here's your warning. Don't go by verb endings. They're very irregular. Although I'm not sure why he chose to put in an irregular form there. I'm not the Pali expert to figure this all out, but I can work through sentences. Okay, number 6.
I can do this. Te papa pute nivarenti, te kalyane pute nivesenti. These bad sons they restrain, these good sons they make established in goodness, I suppose.
Which word are you using for these?
Te.
Te.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a third person plural from so, or he.
So is he, he is they.
No, I'm gonna disagree. Te is actually 1-2 form of so. You're thinking it's 2-2. I'm thinking it's 1-2. I'm thinking it's the object, the subject of the sentence, because it's not those. It's means they, 2-1-2, restrain. The sons who are evil. They restrain evil sons. And they, whatever Niwe Senti is, they're good sons.
Except.
What is Niwe Senti?
Establish.
Right, Niwe Senat. So they help them become established, right? Promote them. Because it doesn't make as much sense to say that the subject is missing and this is those evil sons. It's a bit more awkward. I doubt it's the case. Remember, it's so te tang nang te. So is 1-1, te is 1-2, tang nang is 2-1, and te is also 2-2. So it could be 1-2 or 2-2. Here, pretty sure it's 1-2. But You could argue that it is tutu. I don't think so, though. Almost. Good enough. Number 7.
Adam Maya, but how do I follow method?
How do I? So what is the subject of the sentence?
Maya.
What is the form of Maya?
Maya is Srivan.
So it wouldn't be do I, how by me? Maya means by me, not I.
Yeah, but the meaning of it will be...
Yeah, I mean, but we're going by... Sure, you it's correct, but let's be clear. I'd rather we do it this way because for grammar purposes, so we're clear. We're thinking in a Pali way. We're not thinking in an English way. So we technically right, but how by me should it be practiced? And there's no it to be practiced. This is an intransitive verb. How should practice be done by me? Basically, how should I practice? I don't think it's path entered. Pati bhajati just means practice.
I found different meaning.
Oh? Yeah, it goes along as the sense, but it just means how should I behave? Basically, which specific course of action should be followed? It means to follow a specific course of action. Pati is specific and pad is to follow or to enter upon, that kind of thing. Patipajjati, it's a very common verb. In Thai, they say patibat, which means to practice. Again, this is te. Te gives you a hint that it's passive, if it wasn't clear, because it would normally be ti. The parasapada endings are much more common. The ti ending is much more common than te. So when you see te, it's usually a flag that this is passive, but it's clear that this is passive. Maya is the subject, but it's not in a 1-1 form, it's in a 3-1 form. So it means how by me should it be practiced, or should whatever. And then, of course, yes, if you're going to actually put it down on paper in English, you would say, how should I practice? Or what course of method should I follow? Or something like that. Next one.
That is, Kim Amhakam Sukam Upadesat. What is our happiness?
Could you say that again, Ramesh? It cut out a little bit.
What teaches our happiness?
What is the verb?
Verb is upadesat,
which means. What does upadesati mean?
I'm taking it as teaching or preaching.
I can't hear you.
Teaching or preaching?
No, upadesati is not teaching. U is up, and pad means to, again, to enter upon or to attain. Upad means to arise, to come up. Upapajjati, kind of thing. Upadeti is actually a causative, right? King will be 1-1. What will cause happiness, will bring about, will bring to arise? And Sukhang is the object of the sentence. What will give will? It's is is plural. Is future, right? Is an a ending verb in the future becomes esati instead of isati. Remember, we said is the plural suffix. So upadesati is plural of upadeti. Upadeti is causes to arise. Causes to make or makes to arise. So what will give rise to happiness? Amha kang. I'm going to say, well, it could be 6-1. It could also be 4-1, meaning happiness for us or our happiness. Either one is doable. I'd go more with 4-1. What will give rise to happiness for us? What will bring us happiness? Wouldn't be from happiness. From happiness would have to be a 5-1. And Sukhang is clearly not.
But how come it's a genitive plural? No?
It could be. It could also be dative. I'm going with dative, but either way, it doesn't mean from. From is ablative.
Okay, then I don't know in English. I know genitive in Serbian.
Right. It's genitive. It's either genitive or dative. My guess is dative, but you could argue. I could argue genitive.
What would be genitive in English then? Which preposition?
Well, of rise. No, but you see, the word from there has nothing to do with amha kang, because you've already declined amha kang by the meaning our. Our happiness is one thing, and it's the sukhang that would give from. So if you say from our happiness, the from is referring to sukhang.
Okay.
Amha kang means our, if it's a genitive. If it's a dative, it means to us. What will give rise to happiness for us? Sorry, for us. So if literally it would be, what will give rise to happiness of us, if it was genitive, or what will give rise to happiness for us, if it's dative? Either one works. And this is common to not know which one it is. I'm guessing dative, but it's not really a guess. It's just, it sounds better to me to say, bring happiness for us, instead of what will give rise to our happiness. It's a bit weird, but it does work. Okay, number 9.
Kusalanche kareyasi. I translated that if you may do good. Che is if, I guess. And kusalan, and then sandhi is kusalanche.
Very good. Kareyasi.
That's second person singular causative.
Indeed it is. Well done.
Thank you, Gunther.
Number 10.
Do good.
What is karohi?
Karohi is second person imperative.
It is indeed. Very good. Is everyone else keeping up? Is anyone else keeping up? kusalam karohi and kusalanche kariyasi. There is no subject in the sentence, but that's common, especially with second person. Like when you're talking to someone, you don't always say you, like you go there or so on. Although it's, you know, in English we still do use the subject a lot. In Pali they don't, so it's just missing here. Kusalang is to one in both cases, so it's the object of the sentence. And the verbs are both in the second person. First one is optative, the second one is imperative. J means if. So it's not that difficult. Kusalang plus J is kusalan J. Okay, 11.
Which student got folded?
I still can't hear you.
Which student got folded by teacher?
Say again?
Which student got scolded by the teacher?
No. What does kasma mean?
Kasma is a 5-1.
Okay. So what is 5-1? What does kasma mean? I mean, first of all, is CISO 5-1?
CISO is 1-1.
In which case, those two words cannot agree with each other, and so it could never be which student. If it was which student, that means which is modifying CISA, a student, and it would have to agree in case and number. In this case, it doesn't, so those two words are not at all related. So it could never be which student. Kasma means from what? Or we translate it as why. Yes. By the Garu, Garuna, this is 3-1. And this is a passive sentence, right? It's not the Sisa that's doing the Garya. It's the Garu. The Garu is Garaha. Garahati is to scold, to come down hard upon. Gara means actually hard. Garu means hard. I don't know if it's at all related, but or heavy. Garu means heavy, actually. Siso is student, so it's the 1-1. Why is the student being scolded or being reproached by the teacher? So this is passive. The sisa isn't the doer. This is kamavajika. And again, it's the iya that points it out. In number two, iya was actually causative passive. It's irregular form. But here, this is a normal passive. Iya. Iyate is passive, usually. I mean, it's always passive, but it's just not usually causative. Number 12. Yeah, it's fairly easy. Ami is first person plural, first person singular. So this means I drink. Piwi is to drink. In regards to drinking, piwami means I drink. Surang is the object of the sentence. There's no subject. It's also fairly common. Surang piwami, I drink alcohol. 13.
I should not have done.
What's the verb?
Akasi. Evam akasi. Evam indeed and akasi.
And what case would you say Agassi is? It's funny because usually Ewam Agassi means he did that, he acted thus. Agassi is past. But Ma is interesting. It seems this could also be a 2-1, a second person singular imperative or something. Because Ma only goes with imperative. Yeah, here's like, I think I've seen this in the Patimokkha or something. Samanera ma eva makasi. Samanera, the hey novice, this is vocative actually. So here it's definitely 2-1. Ma eva makasi means don't do that.
Is this Akasi or Akasi?
Akasi. It's short. Again, verbs are really weird, so someone else I'm sure could explain to you what this all means, but pretty sure that's present tense imperative for some reason. Must be an irregularity, but Kurohi would be more common, right? Akasi. Could be a colloquial usage of the past tense, because Akasi should be past tense. Third person, actually. It's a short A long. First A is short, second A is long.
Akasi is Pachima Purusa. Both Akala.
Akasi is Majjhima Purusa? I mean, but that's what throws me off, because it should be Patama Purusa. Ekavachana. Past tense as well. Like Bhagava Eva Makasi, the Blessed One did this. Because the past tense puts an E, and the E takes the S as just a thrown in there letter. Doesn't mean anything. The root is gar, which becomes ka. So kasi, and then a is the prefix. So akasi is past tense, usually. Here it's obviously not. If you run a search for this word, Ewa Makasi, in the commentaries using the DPR, or in the Vinaya, actually, just not the commentaries, the Vinaya. You find, I think, a couple of... it is in the commentaries. Anyway, if you run a huge search for it and look it up, look at how it's used, there's two different usages. Here we have Samanera ma eva makasi, which means, hey, Samanera, don't do this. Don't act thus. And then we have kasma panna bhagava eva makasi. It's totally different meaning. So the verb is a totally different form, even though it's spelt exactly the same. So this means why did the Blessed One act thus? Meaning past tense, which is how I've normally seen it. But then I'm not a grammar expert. So obviously there's different ways to use it. But this is a different meaning. Anyway, so it's... This is imperative, so it's, what do you call, panchami, but Majjhima Purusa Ekavachana. or in English, it's imperative, second person singular. Yeah, Akasi is almost always past tense, third person past tense, but it appears that there's Akasi as well, which is the imperative, singular. Anyway, next sentence, moving right along.
Tasovadam karoshi. Make advice.
Say again.
Make advice.
What is
karoshi second person singular imperative of karoti?
Okay, what does the tasovada mean?
Ovada is advice.
So you're just. What are you doing with tasa?
Tasa is that, no?
Tasa means of that or
to that. Or dative of or genitive or dative.
Yeah? Yes. So what does it mean?
I translated this make advice.
But you haven't used the word tasa yet.
Make that advice or make
That's a problem for you. And how do you make advice?
Karoshi is imperative from karoshi. Karoti.
I know, but what does it mean to make advice?
Well, if you ask somebody to give you advice or give advice. You ask somebody to give advice.
You give advice, but you don't make it. That's not the idiom.
Okay, sorry for my English. I'm not native speaker, so.
No, but this isn't English. I mean, in English, that might even make sense. I'm just saying in Pali, that's not the idiom. To make advice means to act according to the advice. When someone gives you advice, it's not actually make here, it's do. In English, we would say do to make it sound better. But the idiom in Pali is to do what you're told.
Listen to advice or something like that. Follow the advice.
Follow, act out, act according to the advice.
Okay, that means then follow this advice.
Not this. If it were, then the word this would have to accord with the word owada, because it would be an adjective modifying owada. This could never be this advice. It would have to be tang owadang, if that were the case. Tasa does not agree with owada, so they cannot be related. See, once you've got the meaning of the words down, then you have to be careful, because if you move too quickly, you'll do this and you'll put things together where they shouldn't be. Dung o wa dung would be put into practice that advice. Well, tasa can also be a person. Tasa doesn't have to mean that, it can also mean he. So,
follow his advice, or?
Yes, follow his advice. Six one. You see the difference? This advice, the word this would have to agree with the word advice. It would have to be the same, it would have to be a 2-1 in this case.
Yeah, it should be then tasa ovadasa or something like that. It should be same.
No, tasa ovadasa would mean, still mean that advice. It would mean of that advice or for that advice.
That's what I want to say, that then tasa would be the same case like ovada, or tasa avadasa should be. But Tassa Ovadam is the different case, so it doesn't go with each other.
Yes, yes. Different cases means they don't go together. They do, but they go together in a different way. There's a grammatical relationship. The advice of X, or the advice for X, but this isn't for X. If it were, it would mean you should follow the advice that is for someone else, but that's not what this means. Guaranteed.
Okay, thank you.
That's 15.
Where will they go?
What is they?
Ime.
Ime is not they. Close, but not really, not exactly. Ime is these. I guess you could translate. It's not really they, though. Where will these people go? These ones. Yeah, I guess you have to translate it as they. But they would be... what would that be? They. Where would they go? Te gamisanti. Sorry, I just wanted to point out it's more closer to us or we or the, no, not we, but these, not those.
Yes.
Kahang is where, gamis is the plural form, so is anti is third person plural, gam is the root. The root only changes to gach in the present form. So gam future form is gam isanti. Ime is a 1-2 form of ida, which means these. Next. This one's tough.
Is it Raja goes to the settlement?
No. No, there's no subject in this sentence. Unless Raja Niwesanang is 1-1. I think it is. Because this is passive, right? Gamiyate. Yeah, so I think this means the Raja Niwesana is gone too. We don't say that in English, but this is how they say it in Pali. The Raja Niwesana is gone too by someone. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
What is the Rajanavesanang, Pante?
It's compounds, which we didn't get to. So don't make the mistake of thinking that this is Raja is the object of the subject of the sentence. This is just a compound. It's two words put together, Raja and Nivesana. And words and compounds either have adjectival relationships or they have grammatical relationship. So adjectival means they refer to the same thing, like the bahu bihi, much rice. Bahu is much and bihi is rice. But in this case, it's got a grammatical relationship. So it's a kamadarya, I think, is the word for this type of compound. I mean, there are several types of compounds, and they're a bit confusing, actually, and they overlap and stuff, but... this is one that has a grammatical relationship, which means Raja, if you were to pull them apart, it would be Rajuno, right? Ranyo, which would be a 6-1. So of the Raja, meaning this is the Niwesana of the Raja is Raja Niwesana. So when you put it together, you lose the declensions, but it still has the meaning. The meaning is the Raja's Nivesana. Nivesana is place of living, place of establishment. So Raja Nivesana is just a common term for the palace. Raja Nivesana means the king's palace.
Thank you.
So Raja should be 6-1 if you were to pull this apart. That's how compounds work. Either it's an adjective or it's got a grammatical relationship. In this case, it's got a grammatical relationship. Okay, 17.
We live here forever?
Not forever, but yeah.
Chiram.
Chiram means long time. Imha, is that that's past, isn't it? It's definitely past. So this means we have lived here for a long time. Ida is here. Yeah, it's Hiyatani, right? Or it's Paroka, probably Paroka, I don't know. Hiyatani, maybe. See, they're so complicated, but it's one or the other. Okay, I don't think we can get through all of these. If you haven't done these, I'll give you a chance to go through the rest of them for homework, and I think if possible, try to go over some of the paradigms if you could, some that you haven't gotten yet. Just remember that should be our continuing homework, is to go through the paradigms, and if not memorize them, at least become comfortable with them. You should read through all the irregular paradigms. You know, probably if you just read through the paradigms again and again, you'd start to pick them up. Rather than worrying so much about grammatical rules and stuff, try to become comfortable with the paradigms, and the rules will all come through practice. It's the paradigms that you're going to bite you in the butt when you have to go back and look up, what was 3-1 again? What was 7-1 again? You should become comfortable with them. That's pretty core. Okay, so let's stop it there, and we'll see you all next week.
Sadhu Bhante, thank you.
Sadhu Bhante.
Sadhu Bhante.
Okay, Robin, can you just give me a minute and then we'll sit and talk?
Sure.